Hello, is that better?
Yeah, I mean, it's not great, but it's not. I can hear you and understand you.
Okay. That might just be my voice. I've got like a cold, so
Oh no, don't say that.
no, it is a cold. It's not the big one.
It's not, yeah, okay, right.
Basically, Mike, the Kilby, had a cold when he was in Oberhausen, and then decided to have a nap when slightly drunk on my bed, and I then slept in the same bed afterwards, and I have a cold now. So yeah,
Fascinating.
it's a scoop from Oberhausen. But
Over scoops.
over scoops. The so there was a lot of us in the same hotel, and Brian, who Irish Brian, he went into hospital the next day.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was unrelated, but they tested him for coronavirus because I guess they're just testing everyone who goes in, and he was fine. But he's ill, but he hasn't got coronavirus.
That would have been because if you were all in the same hotel, then
Oh
you're
yeah,
all screwed.
we'd have all had it, but
And also,
they didn't.
everyone's from different countries, and so, God, that could have been really bad.
But no, it's just okay. Everyone seems to be fine. We still have the group chat from everyone that was in the hotel, so that we're all like, is everyone okay still? Yeah, still okay. So I think everything's all right.
I think it's been long enough now that if something was going to happen, it would have.
Yeah, I to be honest, I'm more worried because I work in retail,
Yeah.
and at the moment it's kind of hell.
Oh yeah, no, I went to do some shopping yesterday, and you would think they're about to put us on a curfew or something. The amount of just insanity there was.
Yeah, well, in other countries they are doing that. I mean, like Italy, you're only allowed to leave to go and get food. And they have like a queuing system at the supermarket, so basically you queue up outside, and there's only X number of people allowed in at a time, and you get like a so much time to do your shopping, and then you got to go, and then you're replaced by the next person in the queue, and you don't have that many people in the shop at any one time. That's
Right.
what we're heading towards if we don't get our shit together.
That's terrifying. I mean, even if we get our shit together, I think it seems like that's just what's going to happen. Because Italy are what, like a couple of weeks ahead of us? And they haven't even reached their peak yet. That's the thing.
Well, they've got
They're.
everyone in isolation now, like nobody's allowed out, so they have kind of reduced the spread. Whereas, so our government's approach is, oh, well, let's just let it spread, and then people will get immunity and everything will be okay.
Which is the dumbest thing in the
It
world because.
is incredibly dumb. I don't think I've ever heard anything so dumb in my entire life. But that is that's where we're at with Boris. They're like, oh yeah, we'll probably cancel like big events later, and like when half the population's sick, that then we'll stop it from spreading around then. I honestly don't understand where Boris is getting into. Did you hear the story about so Boris Johnson idolizes the mayor in Jaws
Oh no.
because he kept the beaches open. And I'm like, as he's like saying this, I'm thinking, did you not see what happened there? Were you not all right with the kid getting eaten by the shark? Because the shark, that's coronavirus, and the kid, that's like every person over 60.
It's not 60, it's 70, isn't it?
70,
It's,
yeah.
yeah. I know, I'm just, this is for my own just sanity to make sure. If it's 60, I'm gonna be panicked. If it's 70, I can sort of
It's not an exact science. I mean, but there is a mortality rate to this, and it's basically people who have underlying health issues and are already elderly. So like we should be fine, right? but I live in the same house as my dad, who has leukemia and prostate cancer. So, yeah, I have not been within, I want to say, about probably 6 feet, probably further than that. I haven't been that close to him. I've spoken to him once in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, so I live with my mother, who's about what, mid-60s, and we've implemented a thing where we're not even sharing the same cutlery. She's got her own special cutlery. We have to stay a couple of meters away from her. So, like, it is a very, it's a very scary time for a lot of people.
Yeah. So I guess we should kind of like talk about how that relates to the wrestling business, because it does. I think the most obvious one is WrestleMania weekend, which is coming up.
Yeah, which I think
There is
at this,
absolutely no way this is happening.
I don't think anyone's going to run WrestleMania weekend.
No.
Not even someone like the Collective, who are sort of. So they've put out a statement basically going, whether or not WrestleMania happens, we're going to run. And I'm sure that's purely because if they don't run, they basically a lot of those companies are just going to go out of business.
Yeah, it's going to be a landscape changer for sure.
Completely.
There's the main thing with Mania having not been cancelled already is because Vince is a prick and he wants to save as much money as he possibly can from the situation. He doesn't give a shit about the fans. He only cares about the money. And if Tampa tell him to cancel it, then it's on them and he doesn't lose so much money. But Tampa are like, go ahead, run your fucking show, see if we care. And that's where we're at. So, but it's gonna get cancelled. It's either gonna get cancelled, or there was this weird thing going around saying there will be a WrestleMania in some form. So I don't know if that means them broadcasting something and doing it behind closed doors like they have been with SmackDown and they will do with Raw. I don't know if that's going to be the case, whether they want to run like a reduced card and save some of the money matches for a later date. I don't know, but yeah, running it live in front of a crowd, doing fucking meet and greets at Access, is none of this shit's happening.
No. So Vince and Tampa are in a sort of weird game of chicken where
Yeah.
no one wants to run WrestleMania, but no one wants to be the one to say we're not running.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of this is changing very, very quickly, but literally just last night, America declared a state of emergency.
Yeah.
So I think most likely
That's
there's going
coming
to be
like
some.
2 days after Trump saying there's nothing to worry about. Oh, it'll be fine. Oh, yeah, state of emergency.
Yeah, I think. Sorry, just a sidebar. I've got No People Gate on in the background. Why is Liger doing commentary for Stardom? That's so weird.
It's because Bushiroad own both of them, so they can do things like that.
Yeah, that's so weird. Anyway, sorry. Yeah, I think we're in a weird sort of game of chicken. Most likely with the state of emergency. They're going to ban what, like a 70,000 person event
I yeah, it's
with
not
people
even.
coming from all across the country, all across the world, even.
Well, they won't be
Like,
coming from Europe because Trump's banned the travel from there. But yeah, it
even then.
even though it's crazy. There are kind of rumors of outbreaks, pockets of bad shit that's kicking off over the states because they basically have done nothing to prevent the spread, and it's going to be bad. And this is.
Yeah.
We're like 2 weeks out from Mania at the moment. So in 2 weeks' time, who knows how bad it's going to be. There's no way it's running. It's not happening.
I think at this point we just have to think what's. I don't think they're going to run a WrestleMania from the Performance Center, personally, just because looking at what they've done with NXT and SmackDown, it just doesn't. It's so small scale that I can see them thinking. Look, just for optics, this doesn't look good. Let's run, maybe do a super show, but not necessarily call it WrestleMania.
Yeah, But that is what I assume the WrestleMania in some form is, that they will still run something, but it won't be the card that we are expecting.
Yeah, and then it will be the kind of thing they put in documentaries for years of, the world was panicked about
But we
coronavirus, but
still run,
we.
damn it. Yeah.
No, we were the light in the darkness, like they do with the when they ran after 9/11, how they always talk about that and how, we brought smiles on people's faces in these dark times. That's gonna be the story.
It's gonna make me sick.
Yeah. But for the indie companies, I mean, if we're honest, it's more a case of who's gonna survive. Because High Spots have said, look, if we have to cancel WrestleCon, we're going to go out of business. Not just WrestleCon, the entire High Spots company is going to go out of business. And that's like a 20-year-old company. Places like AEIW, who, let's be honest, aren't the.
Wasn't that didn't he say the other day it would be like taking $20,000 and burning it in your backyard?
That's the level that we're talking here. That's the kind of money that's at stake. And I feel really bad for these companies, but also on some level, I think we have to now start thinking, is it worth taking these big risks to run these shows based around another company's show? Because anything can happen. And you don't want to be in a situation where if you don't run a show,
Well,
you're
in
going to go out
theory,
of
like
business.
it should be an absolute home run for you if you go to Mania weekend and you put on a show and it's good. It's more eyes on your product. In what reality does WrestleMania get cancelled? It's never happened. It'll probably never happen again. It's just one of these freakish one-offs. And I know we're saying it's a risk to support to put your big show on Mania weekend and effectively throw everything at it, but like it doesn't feel like it that much of a risk normally. It's only when a company goes in completely unprepared, like I don't know, IPW UK, then they're just going to lose out big time. But a lot of these promotions have been making big money doing these Mania weekends, especially when they string a load of shows together and they're all successful, like GCW has been doing.
Yeah, fair. I think it'll be interesting to see how things change, not just coming out of this WrestleMania and frankly which companies survive, but also come next WrestleMania when things are hopefully a bit more back to normal, which companies are gonna be willing to take that kind of risk again, and which companies are just gonna say, look, it's just not worth it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the landscape is like in a year's time, because I think this is going to see casualties. AIW were talking about having multiple shows cancelled because they've got shows between now and Mania that are not going to go ahead. Sami Callihan for Revolver has said he's fucked. The company's going to be dead if they don't run.
He's also said personally he's not going to wrestle until things are sorted.
Well, that's
Take
probably
of
for
that
the
what you
best because he
will.
spits on people.
Yeah.
Can't do the gimmick, brother.
Exactly. It sounds kind of callous, but in a way, we've been talking about how WrestleMania weekend is becoming a bit bloated. So,
It's going to thin the
again,
herd.
it's a shitty thing to say, and I feel bad for a lot of these places. But it is also going to mean not every Tom, Dick, and Harry is going to try and run WrestleMania.
Has anything actually been cancelled so far? I know the WXW show they've had to cancel because they can't get there because of the travel ban, so that's not happening. Has anyone else called off?
Uncanny Attractions, which wasn't like it wasn't one of the big shows, but they were running WrestleMania weekend, they cancelled. And there was a third, but I can't remember. It was another
So the
sort of
Uncanny
smaller.
Attractions, that was the Drags and Dropkicks
Yeah.
show, wasn't it?
So that's officially cancelled.
That's a shame.
There was one other show, I can't remember. There was definitely three WrestleMania weekend shows that had cancelled. And this week has gone on for about 6 months, so
Yeah.
I just can't
Well,
remember.
we could record again tomorrow and there'll probably be like a half a dozen shows gone. It's going to be a, yeah. There's going to be bloodshed.
Yeah, it's a very, very tough time for a lot of people.
It's a unique situation. Like we've had like outbreaks of stuff before, like really strong flu that was killing people, but it this the spread of this is just ridiculous. Like it you can spread it without having any symptoms. The symptoms take time to kick in and you're contagious before they do. It's a ridiculous disease virus, which is yeah. It's a nightmare,
It's
really.
it's Prestige. I just looked it up. Prestige were running as well, and they've had to cancel. Again, it was one of the smaller companies.
Yeah, I don't think I even had that on my spreadsheet. Obviously, I had this spreadsheet with like 40 shows on that I was going to review, and now not happening.
Now you might not even have any wrestling to review for the next couple of months.
Yeah, well, I tweeted that I was going to watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine and play Football Manager, and what else can you do? It's unless we kind of club together and watch some old stuff, I don't know.
Because New Japan is now done until the end of this month.
Yeah.
Main roster WWE, even though none of us watch it, is basically just sort of doing the bare minimum.
Well, sorry, carry on.
Sorry, AEW, they are saying they're going to run in Daly's place, but they're building themselves and said, no, we're not allowing any public events. So who knows what's going to happen there. And they were supposed to have their big War Games match, not this week, the week after, which looks like it's going to happen in front of no people. It's just affect, obviously, it's affecting the global world in a much, much bigger way. And we're most likely going towards a recession.
Yeah.
But it also means there is no wrestling.
Yeah, and seeing as we're a wrestling podcast, so we'll talk about. There were a few shows this weekend that have gone. Scrapper was cancelled, sort of, kind of late because Ireland decided to put a restriction on gatherings of people to, I think it was 100
Yeah, something like
indoors.
that.
Yeah, and obviously Scrapper's a lot more than that. So that's unfortunate for OTT, but they seem to think they can bounce back from that. They don't run a lot of shows, so losing one, even if it's one big one, is not it's not the end of the world because they've constantly had venue problems and needed to reschedule stuff, so they should be okay.
Yeah. Also, the Hangover show from the night after was cancelled as well, obviously.
Ring of Honor have had to cancel. That was yesterday, wasn't it?
So they were supposed to have the anniversary pay-per-view last night, and then tonight was supposed to be the big past versus present
Yeah.
show,
That's a shame. That
which,
would have been fun.
yeah. That was a show that it felt like was really helping them regain some momentum. So losing that is a big blow.
Yeah, I worry about the smaller promotions that they're the ones that are going to be hit, the small indies. I noticed Fight Club Pro ran yesterday.
Yeah, I think Fight Club Pro, sorry, is in the same situation as someone like BJW, where if they don't run, they're gonna completely go out of business. And because there hasn't been any government intervention yet, they're just gonna go ahead. That is, I don't know anything or anything. That's just me looking from the outside.
Well, I would ask Martin Zaki, but the last time I tried to like send him questions and stuff. He was like, no, I'm not answering that. yeah, he probably won't. He doesn't want to discuss finances.
Fair.
I worry about Breed because their comeback show was is in 2 weeks, and I seriously doubt that's going to happen. They had to cancel shows at the end of last year, which was really sensible. So Mitch wanted to get his affairs in order, wanted to get his finances right before they ran again. So he took like 4 months off, and they're going to come back in 2 weeks. Can't see that happening. It
No.
might. But I
If it runs, they're not going to draw very much, if we're honest. And I think it is true. Mitch made a he made the right decision in not running any more shows because they weren't making very much money. In fact, I'm pretty sure they were losing money.
it was the cave show that was the problem, because some carny got them to cancel it and reschedule it.
Yeah, and that obviously cost them loads, and then having to do the show again cost them loads as well. So, it's a very unfortunate situation for them. WrestleTalk had a big, like, super show type thing coming up in a couple weeks, maybe in like a month or two, and they've cancelled that. In its place, Will Ospreay is
Yeah.
running a weird produce show with WrestleTalk on Monday.
Yeah, he's running his
Which,
garden, I think.
fair play. This is also a man that has nothing to do now. New Japan is done. B is still around the stardom.
Stardom not running either. Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. I mean, they're just trying to amuse themselves, really, but at the same time, putting on a show so that people can have something to watch at least, even if they can't go anywhere.
It's a very depressing time, and it's only going to get more depressing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at my. I have a spreadsheet for like upcoming shows. Most of it is WrestleMania related, but like after Mania, there is like All Japan's Champion Carnival. I would be surprised if that went ahead. That's. Starts on April the 6th, I think. Looking at so
Sorry,
that's
that's.
yeah, sorry, carry on. Go on.
The other thing with all of this is that it's not just like after WrestleMania things are going to go back to normal.
No.
This is like months and months now of going to be people either not allowed to run shows or not wanting to run shows because they know just fans are going to be too scared to. So part of my job. Part of my shoot job is working in the tourism industry, and we've basically written off this entire year because, look, until June, July, this virus is going to be around, and then up until September, October, people are going to be too afraid to do anything anyway. And I think that's the same with wrestling, where you might not be allowed to run shows until around the summer. And then after that, you're just going to have fans too afraid to actually come to shows because there's been all of these months of panic.
Yeah, I mean, we might not see a return to any kind of normality until, well, G1 got moved back to October because of the Olympics, which, I mean, that might not happen. But the G1 might be the first time that we get something that is like a return to normality, and that's, what, 7 months away? I assume WWE will try and get up and running as soon as they possibly can in front of a crowd. So I'd be surprised if they weren't running stuff by SummerSlam. But then again, it depends how badly this outbreak affects the United States, and they seem woefully inadequate in their preparation. So yeah.
Part of the issue, to be fair to them, is that this is a completely unprecedented
Oh,
situation.
of course.
So,
I think they were warned. People were warned. When it's the outbreak started, that it was extremely dangerous, and people just went, ah, it'll be fine.
No one really paid attention,
Yeah.
yeah.
And then when it hit Italy, that's when the shit hit the fan. It was like, oh, this might actually happen to us.
Yeah, right. I don't have much more to say on this situation other than it's just very, very sad.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So I kind of wanted to talk about Elimination Chamber that we've just sort of come off because, like, at least that was some wrestling in front of a crowd. You didn't see the show at all, did
No, I saw some gifts from
you?
Danielson Gulak, which looked amazing.
I was talking to Alan Cheapshot about that, and he said he hadn't seen the match, but he's seen the gifts, and he didn't think it was a very good match. It was just like, what?
Oh, what?
Like,
Alan, mate, what are you doing?
blowing my nose here. Great audio.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Great audio.
Our whole no editing thing is working out really
Oh
well.
yeah, that's great. I might just click that one off. Yeah, so the Daniel Bryan Drew Gulak match was actually really good. And the reasoning for me saying this is not that the gifts look good, but because I watched it and it was a logical match where they did logical wrestling things. The storyline in it was that Drew Gulak thought he had Daniel Bryan's number and then basically dissected Bryan throughout the match, went after his injured neck, and it had like this coherent, logical backbone to the match. There was no storyline attached to it. It was just like, this is Gulak thinks he can beat Daniel Bryan and then didn't because Bryan was just a better wrestler. So he just countered out of one of Gulak's holds, strapped in the old lapel lock, and that was the end of that. And that is what wrestling should be in WWE when there isn't a storyline attached to it. And more often than not, you just see a match that's just. It's just a bit movesy because they want to pop the crowd, but this is what wrestling should be. It was good logical stuff, and you just don't see that, not in WWE at least. I don't even remember the last time I saw something like that where it was just a good application of logic and heart and some neck drops to combine into but the thing is, like, you could criticize him for getting dropped on his neck. I don't think he actually intended to take that one bump the way he did. It was just an
Which,
unfortunate, like, over rotation on it.
yeah, and I think I've watched the GIF in slow-mo a couple of times. It's not quite as bad as you might think. It's he lands a bit more on his shoulder than you first realize. I think it is just a case of he over-rotated a little bit, or Gulak was just a bit too excited and threw him a bit too strong.
Yeah, but it
It's
did play into the overall theme of the match, and it helped it. I hope Brian doesn't tag team any more of those because, let's face it, he wasn't in the best of condition when he retired, and it took him a while to get back. It'd be a shame if he went and injured himself so seriously that he couldn't compete anymore again.
Yeah, but I think, like we say, it didn't feel like it was an intentional. I'm more surprised at the Gulak had him in a headlock and he did like an almost pile driver thing. I'm more surprised that that didn't get more attention because that was literally just him landing on the top of his head. And just no one talks about that. I think with this whole match, or the build at least, I think you're right. There's no reason for there to be cold matches on WWE because this build was so simple. It was literally just for weeks, Gulak was saying, "Hey, Daniel Bryan, these are all the things wrong with your game. This is why I can make anyone beat you." And so obviously, after a while, Daniel Bryan is just like, oh, well, if anyone can beat me, why don't you beat me? It's the most straightforward, simple storytelling ever. And it just worked. It just worked really, really well. And there's no reason why we shouldn't see more of that.
Well, I said about this match, I was saying that WWE sometimes just need to get out of the way.
Yeah, completely.
They just need to let the wrestlers be wrestlers. And Daniel Bryan is a prime example of that. Like, everything that they've done with him since he came back from his retirement has been very storyline-y. And although he's done really well with it, it doesn't need to be that complicated. And he may even have gone to bat for himself here and just said, like, can we just do some wrestling?
Well, the story going around is that basically he's booking himself. He is just doing whatever he wants. And because they're too afraid to let him go, they're going with it. So this was basically just his idea of, I want to elevate Drew Gulak. Here's my angle. Let me do the match. Cool.
See, that's great. They have creative people in that company who know wrestling and kind of need to let them do their thing.
Yeah, I mean, the roster is amazing, and a lot of those people are going to be smart enough to know how to, not necessarily how to book themselves, but know how to put together a compelling story, or at least will understand their characters a little bit better than your writers. So getting some input from them isn't the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, I find, like, WWE booking in general to be a...
It's a waste of time even talking about. Yeah. It's just completely illogical.
I think they have trouble with long-term storytelling as well. You basically forget everything once the storyline is over. So, like, you have, Undertaker AJ Styles thing with, like, Aleister Black, and once it's over, they'll just all move on to something else and you'll forget about it. And that seems to be the issue pretty much everywhere. And it's only the fans remembering shit like the history between, say, the New Day and the Usos that came into the Elimination Chamber match at the Elimination Chamber. It's the crowd reacting to that stuff. It's not the booking. The booking will look at it and go like, hey, it's just a bunch of guys, let's put this together, and it's a 4-week program, and then when it's over, and they just kind of wipe the Etch-a-Sketch clean and move on to whatever dumb thing they've got happening next. And there's just no point in paying attention to anything, because it just, you can parachute in completely cold to WWE and basically understand everything immediately, and in a way that's good, but in a way it's not. They don't reward people for sticking around. And it's kind of the same thing as comic books. I can't remember who it was, but he went into comics and got told, Kevin Smith. So, like, he started writing some comics for, I can't remember if it was Marvel or DC.
It was DC. He did Green Arrow.
Yeah, he got told that every issue he needs to basically explain who the dude is, what his powers are, who his mates are. And Kevin Smith was like, well, why do I have to do this? It's like, people who read comics will understand what I'm talking about. And he got told that every comic is somebody's first comic. So you need to kind of give everyone that little bit of extra background when they come into it. Daredevil, he wrote as well. Daredevil.
Yes.
So that's WWE. Like, every show, every character has to be reintroduced just in case it's someone's first show.
I think you're right that it's not necessarily the worst thing in the world, but also what it means is, if you're someone that's watching, well, first of all, the company is not set up so that you should be someone that's watching every Raw, every SmackDown, every pay-per-view. That's just not No, they don't want you to be doing that, really. They're just producing content because they have to.
Yeah. Well, you compare that to like when the company was hot in the Attitude Era, people were watching every show. They wanted to watch every show. They wanted to see what happened. But the sheer volume of content that they produce now, even if I wanted to watch all of it, I don't think I could.
There was a time back in, I want to say 2016, where I tried to watch every Raw, every SmackDown, and every pay-per-view just to see if it was possible. And I think I made it to just after the Royal Rumble, which is
Oof.
like a month. I just
I don't know
ran
why,
out of
but I
time.
was expecting a much later date.
No, I
Yes,
made it a month.
I managed it for 3 weeks.
It's just so much. It was like, at the time, it was like 6 hours of wrestling a week
Yeah.
while also, having a real life. It's just too much.
Yeah, 20 in 2015, I think I watched every Raw.
That's crazy.
And it was difficult. I didn't watch a single SmackDown. I didn't watch any of SmackDown because, like, you just can't. There's just not enough hours in the day. There's not enough days in
Yeah.
the week to actually sit through all of the content that they're pumping out. I always advise people who are like saying, "Oh, that's too much." It's like just watch their YouTube stuff. It's far better to watch. You get like a little Cliff's Notes version of every match. And you just don't need to watch the show. Unless you
And
want to watch it
again,
live, like, there's no point.
yeah, I think the way they do their YouTube is another example of how even they admit you're not supposed to be watching everything because they put all of the important stuff up on YouTube almost immediately after it happens.
Yeah. Because people
It's
can't
just,
watch it. It's just.
it's a shit company, and I think there's a reason we don't talk about them very much on these shows, because neither of us really enjoy it.
I have been trying to watch their pay-per-view this year, so I watched the Rumble and I watched Elimination Chamber. Has there been another one? I might have watched the other one, whatever that was. I can't even
Worlds
remember.
Collide. There was Worlds Collide.
Yeah, I've watched.
And there was a
Oh,
takeover.
I watched Super Smack, Super SmackDown, Super Showdown, which is
Oh,
hands down the worst show I've seen so far this year.
yeah.
And what else did I watch? Watch Worlds Collide, yeah, and that's it.
See, I can't even do that anymore. I'm just completely done with that company.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to stay in the loop so we've got something to talk about, but whether I will actually make it through the entire year watching their shows, I'm not convinced, but yeah, we'll see how it goes. For what it's worth, I thought Elimination Chamber was boring. I thought it was a boring show. A lot of the work was very dull and uninspired. I'm trying to think of an example. That SmackDown Tag Team Championship Elimination Chamber match was half an hour long, and you end up at the end with like three teams who've been there for ever, with Miz and Morrison being like the fresh team because they're back, as opposed to a fresh team because they're new. That Aleister Black and AJ Styles was like 20 something minutes long, and it was just really boring.
And didn't it end with like a DQ or something as well?
It was a no DQ match,
Right.
and this didn't make any sense to me because like you have the club or whatever they're called, Anderson and Gallows.
The OC.
The OC, that's it. So they're at ringside for the entire match, and it's a no disqualification match. So at any point they can jump in there and just, beat the fuck out of Aleister Black. But instead they wait 20 minutes and then jump in. It's like, what was the point of that? Then the Undertaker appears and that's the finish.
That's so, yeah. So you don't need to do that over 20 minutes. You can have that, you can do that entire thing in about 10 minutes.
You could do it in five if you wanted to. The whole concept is it's no DQ, so there's nothing stopping those boys from running in there and helping AJ out.
So there's no reason, unless that 20 minute match was like really, really good, which from what you're saying, it wasn't really. There's
As soon as they were in the ring, it felt like they were calling it in the ring and they'd just gone out there with 20 minutes. And it was like, let's just fill this time. It didn't feel like they were going to like have a blowaway match at any point.
Yeah, I think if you wanna have a 20-minute match and then do all of the shenanigans, you need to really use that 20 minutes well. Otherwise, it just feels like a complete waste.
Yeah, I was shocked at how poor it was, and every match felt like long and time fillery. Just all of it. It all felt like that. The only match that I didn't think overstayed its welcome was the Braun Strowman handicap match with Nakamura, Cesaro, and Sami Zayn. And handicap matches suck, and that match sucked. Everything else was way too long. Like, the show was like
I
3.5 hours long. It had no business being that long at all.
yeah so obviously I haven't seen the show. I know how they did the women's elimination chamber, and I think that sounds like something that was really good. I don't know what you thought of it having actually seen
Sorry.
great great audio.
Basically, the more that I'm talking, the more I'm like building up a congestion,
That's
making it
attractive.
worse. Yeah, the concept behind that match was particularly good, because the whole thing was there to make Shayna look like a complete badass. But Shayna comes in at like four. And everything before that is just a complete waste of time. Like, nothing happens at all. The crowd started chanting CM Punk during it because, like, nothing's happening. It's just like, why? There's no point to it at all. And then when Shayna is in there, like, she taps everyone out. So then she's just waiting for the next person to come in. And they don't even gimmick the clock or anything. They just let it tick on by. So she stood around doing nothing. That's your main event.
See, I think what it comes down to is that Shayna's not really, she doesn't have the kind of charisma where she could fill that time. When we were talking about the Royal Rumble, one of the things we praised was Brock, was when Brock was just on his own
Yeah.
bantering away.
That I
So
think they tried to replicate that here, and it didn't work. They needed to cut down the amount of time where she was alone in the ring, even if it meant just like speeding up the clock and bringing somebody else in. And the bit with Asuka at the end, I thought was really good, but that was like 5 minutes out of a half an hour.
Not a good match, not a good show. Maybe watch the opener,
Yeah,
is what you're
most of it
saying.
was pretty boring. I would probably the I imagine it's on YouTube, but like after Shayna comes in, when she starts killing people, that's good stuff. Especially when she basically grabs Liv Morgan by her legs and swings her into the pod.
Jeez.
Yeah, that was awesome. But like, the amount of time that they killed just getting to that was agonizing, and I really struggled to sit through the show. It was very long and very boring.
Well, let's see how long you go with this whole watching every pay-per-view thing.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what's going to happen with WrestleMania, but well, whatever they run, I'll give that a shot. So next, I want to talk about Carrot. So I assume you've seen nothing from Carrot.
I have seen literally nothing. I was hoping. I had an exam on Wednesday. I was planning on watching a couple shows after that, but I think I decided I'd rather wait till everything's dropped and then watch it in like a couple of days as opposed to over a month.
Yeah, the overall experience of this weekend was really good. So I very heavily criticised some of the booking towards the end of the tournament, but going in, it was like the Inner Circle was a very good show. The last two matches, especially, which was Shigehiro Irie and Scotty Davis, and the main event, which was Daniel McCarvey and Chris Ridgeway against Yuki Ishikara and Daisuke Ikeda, which was just when are you ever going to see that match again? That was
That honestly might that might be the match I'm looking forward to most of that whole weekend.
when,
Just because it's so weird.
yeah, just when they came out for it, I thought it was. Well, McCarvey comes out, and I'm like, oh, sweet, Dan McCarvey's in the main event, which I knew he was because he told me that at the airport. But like, he also said, if the booking comes through that I think it's going to be, you want to see this match. And yeah, I was there for that. So that was a hell of a start. Day one had some really good stuff. I know people are generally critical of day one of tournaments because you get a lot of establishment stuff where it's like, here's a good match, the better match is coming later. But also you had Julian Pace and Bandido on that show, which not only set the standard for what Bandido was going to do over the course of the tournament, but also that like Julian Pace, it was a statement match for him. It was his chance to go out there and prove that he was as good as one of the best wrestlers in the world. And instead of Bandido being kind of dragged down to the level that Julian Pace is at on the card for WXW, Julian Pace decided to put himself on the same. I'm doing something with my hands at the moment with levels, and it's not going to work because it's a pod. But yeah, Pace basically moved up to Bandido's level in that match, and it was an exceptional match. I thought it was the best match on the show. And then you had some of the like random bits and pieces, like Irie versus Black Taurus. What else was on
Kingston
there?
Macabe.
Kingston McCarvey, Rotation and Puma King, Mike Bailey and Chris Ridgeway was on that. So there was a lot of fun stuff on that show, but like it was like an opening night kind of deal. And then day two you had Ambition. So Ambition was, I think, probably the best Ambition show I've ever seen.
Really?
Everything on that show was at least good. But also the two super fights that they booked were phenomenal. The Ethan Allen and Luke Jacobs knew they had an opportunity to go out there and prove something, and they did in a big way. That was as good as anything on night one, I thought.
Yeah, those are two dudes I'm really excited for. I absolutely adored their Tetsujin match. And Luke Jacobs, he looks almost exactly like Bryan Danielson about 10 years ago. And he sort of works a very similar style as well. You can tell he's been influenced there. His gear is even, he
Yeah,
wears
he
the
has
red gear.
the old Ring of Honor Danielson gear.
Yeah.
So I dig it. He's a very good wrestler as well. They might have gone a little bit over the top in this, but then they wanted to show what they could do, and I appreciate that. And that they had a very good
Yeah.
match.
They have to show out because for a lot of people, this will be the first time they're seeing
Yeah.
them.
And it worked because when the Young Guns then came out later, for part of a, it was like a gauntlet, number one contender gauntlet match that they did. Everyone else had been like goofy teams. Some of the teams were ridiculous. Lavanial and DJ Hyde was one of the teams
Wow.
for the gauntlet
Wow.
match. The idea was that Absolute Andy had basically written a piece of software that had, he'd basically stayed up all night doing an IT course. And he'd written a piece of software that had created this tag team gauntlet. That was the story. So every other team had been
Okay.
goofy as hell. And then the last team is Young Guns. And the reaction was enormous for
Good for them. Good for
it.
them.
Yeah, so I'm really pleased for them. Also on this Ambition show, they had Daisuke Ikeda against Yuki Ishikawa. And I was expecting a lot of mat work. I was not expecting them to start shoot punching each other. And at one point, Daisuke Ikeda did a running headbutt, which is, without a shadow of a doubt, the sickest thing I've ever seen in professional wrestling.
Sounds amazing.
It's like as soon as he'd done it, like they both had like a red mark on their head, and then like Ikeda ended up with like one of these goose egg size. And I'm like, just why are you killing each other for us? I appreciate it, but what are you doing?
They probably know because I think this is their first singles match for like 8 years or something ridiculous. And they probably think we're not going to get to do this match again, so fuck it.
Fuck it, let's it all hang out. I actually went 4.5 stars on this.
Jeez.
I was talking to I was Gary, because we went to the supermarket like after that show in between shows, and I said to him, am I insane for going 4.5 stars on that? And he's I think he said he was 4.75. So that'll give you an idea of how enjoyable that
Fair
was. Like,
play.
I don't know if it's going to translate well to tape, but as a live experience, it was unbelievable, honestly. And on the same day as this, I also got to see Joe Gacy against Anthony Green as like a CZW produce match on their showcase show that came on after Ambition. And this was a match where the shit they did was so good that I was stood at the back with Ben Owens and we were chanting CZW.
That rules.
And honestly, I never ever thought I would ever do that in my life. We were chatting CZ Dub from the back of the building.
You know, because over this weekend, I think you sent me a message going, "This is one of the best matches of the weekend,"
Yeah.
and I still don't believe you, to be honest. I haven't seen it yet, but I still don't believe you that a damn, like, no offense to Joe Gacy and Anthony Green. But they're not two people who I think, yeah, they're gonna have a 4-star plus match.
Anthony Green's somebody who I've seen wrestle quite a lot, but I haven't seen him wrestle recently. Over the last year, he has massively improved.
Well, he's been
Massively
working a
improved.
lot. He's been working a lot of Evolve and is clearly in the WWE system on some level, so that's clearly helped him.
Yeah, he's really good. And it worked because Gacy was all fired up. He was doing all the power stuff. Green's doing all the flippy doos, and it works so well. And the finish is one of the best finishes I have ever seen ever. It was absolutely fantastic. It even made sense. It didn't just look cool, it made sense. So Anthony Green's gone up to the top. He's about ready to do it like a backflip, like so he's gonna do a moonsault or something. And Joe Gacy gets up, staggers into the ropes. Him staggering and hitting the ropes knocks Anthony Green off the top. He lands on his quads, like on his hamstrings, should I say,
Yeah.
and kind of bounces over like he's doing a split-legged moonsault.
Right.
And as he's on his way down, Joe Gacy's bouncing back off the ropes and he hits a neck breaker.
That sounds of the what?
And honestly, I was jumping for joy.
That sounds
It was
wild.
so cool. I've never seen anything like it. It was clearly engineered as a finish, but some thought had gone into it. So it wasn't just a, I'm going to hit the ropes and then he's going to bounce and we'll do like a flippy thing. It made everything about it made sense. Like Gacy was getting out of the way of the top rope move. Then when he hit the ropes, Green fell. And then as Green kind of tries to adjust and turn it into something and flip off anyway, Gacy just catches him with the neck breaker on the way down. And oh, it fucking ruled.
Right, I'm very interested to watch this match.
Yes, you should do. It does actually follow a match between Alexa Vallo and Kat Von Cage, which I thought was the worst match of the weekend. So it swings and roundabouts on that showcase show, but it was better than like the Wrestling Deutschland shows that they put on in the past. It was a very different standard. The standard was better, and that was the standout match for me. And after that was night two of Carrot, and the show was consistently good, I thought, but Mike Bailey versus Bandido was live for me 5 stars.
Really, because th so there's a lot of buzz coming out of the show from that match. It seems basically everyone accepts that was the match of the weekend,
Yeah, I don't think it's close. Even with
right?
Ikeda and Ishikawa going out there and killing themselves in ambition, the quality in this match, the fluidity, the smoothness of everything, the way they just tried to outdo each other, it was almost perfect professional wrestling. Slight clash of styles with like the lucha versus the like kicky judo stuff that Bailey does, but everything landed. It was like, when you get two guys together for the first time, like Ospreay and Shingo, and it's just, this is everything I wanted it to be. There's no tentativeness. They just go straight in and are perfect together. It was like that. And the reaction of the crowd just sent it over the top because the crowd was so into the match. And then at the end, where they all basically started throwing money into the ring, and you could see on like the face of Bailey especially, he's like, "What the hell? What is happening here?" And it was beautiful, honestly.
I
This is
think
pro
it,
wrestling.
yeah, I think it's interesting, and it shows sort of the shift that WXW's gone over in the last couple of years, where in 2017 and 2018, the match people are coming out of it talking about is two or three homegrown guys that are doing a very storyline heavy match. So Walter, Ilya, there's all of this build up to it. Ilya's reunites with Cerberus over the weekend, all of this. And then 2018, you've got the big three-way. Again, Ilya's return, big storyline match. And then this year, I'm sure it's an amazing match, but it's two imports having a sort of cold tournament match.
I know a lot of people really like the Bobby Guns David Starr match that headlined night two. So you could make an argument for there. That is a storyline match with Starr saying if he loses, he's done. Guns, who's established himself as a main eventer, has got the stable of people behind him to make sure he retains the title. Does it here without the stable? But honestly, that match was way too long.
Sure.
They went 41 minutes, I think. And they didn't have 41 minutes worth of stuff. Guns spent a lot of the match in control. And even though I like Bobby, but like I don't feel like he's at the level where he can do that. Unless he's with somebody who can control the match for him. I thought he did fine. Like, it wasn't a disaster. I didn't think it was a bad match, but I didn't think it was the great match that some people thought it was. And it went way too long, and the finish was really flat and disappointing.
The length, I would imagine, is because obviously this is Starr's last match in WXW for the
You
foreseeable
do have to
future.
keep in mind that when they hit the ring, it was 11 o'clock.
Jeez. Right. So by the time post-speech and everything, you're going at midnight or so.
It was after midnight when we got out of the building.
Yeah. So I think he probably wanted to go a bit long because WXW is the company that sort of made him. So it's like a big last hurrah. So I get wanting to do that, but if it didn't land, to be honest with you, I've seen generally very positive reviews of the match.
Yeah, I'm
So it
not saying
might
it's a
just
bad
be.
match. I'd like to go on record as saying I didn't think it was a bad match, but I went like 3 and a quarter on it because I just thought it was too long, and a lot of what they did didn't connect.
Sure. And I do agree with you. Guns isn't the kind of guy where he should be leading the match. I think the best guns match I've seen was the Speedball match from a couple of years ago, where it was
Well,
more about Speedball selling than it was anything Guns was doing specifically.
yeah. I Bobby's a solid hand. I'm not going to knock him. But this, I feel like wrestlers kind of get exposed when they get put in these very long matches. And while I'm sure it was a good experience for him, a lot of what they did just didn't connect with the crowd, I don't think. Some of the crowd were into it because of the whole star thing, and it's because it's Star's last match. But for me, it just didn't work like it was supposed to work. But then I saw I think Alan had gone over 4 stars on this, and Barry, Zig were really excited about it, said they thought it was great. So there was very much a difference of opinion with people in the building as to whether it was a good match or not.
Fair, fair. Night three, I think, is.
Night three was kind of shaping up quite good until. So they had like a matinee event in the afternoon, and a lot of the matinee event was just kind of filler. Like Alexander James against Joe Gacy was on that show, Marius Alani against Chris Ridgeway. And it was kind of a show until the last two matches, where you had so JAA put their tag titles on the line against Young Guns. That was a great match. Again, that was Young Guns going out there and with a point to prove, eager to put on a good display in not their first major excursion outside of like the Northwest, really. And that was a great match. Also, Volta and Irie was the main event. And while it didn't hit the kind of level that Volta matches were hitting a couple of years ago, when it felt like he was unstoppable, he was the best wrestler in the world. That was also a very good match. So the matinee show was a nice little warm up for the main show. And the main show, when we got to it, a lot of it just did not work. It didn't connect. And they had an angle with Killer Kelly saying that she wasn't ready for a title match with Amal, and that angle just went on forever. And then you had Amal ended up wrestling at Stephanie Mays, who is a prospect but isn't really ready for that kind of showing. That wasn't a very good match. The Tim Thatcher farewell thing, the tag. A lot of people really enjoyed this, but the whole way through, all I'm thinking is, well, this is it. Like, Tim's here and he's done, and I'm sad about it. And then they followed that up with what was supposed to be the crowd pleaser, which was they had Avalanche against Ilya, and they brought out a surprise third guy, which was Alexander Wolf.
Which is the same spot they did last year, just for the record.
Yeah, but So the crowd were very excited about it. The Germans in the crowd were excited about it, and all like the UK and Ireland guys were all looking at it as a case of we've seen this before and it didn't end well. So that was very disappointing. I genuinely was not in a happy place around this time. I got pulled back into the show. There was like a lucha style match like right before the main event, and they had Bandido on one team and Black Taurus on the other, and that just fucking ruled. That was so good that I was borderline depressed when it started, and I was jumping up and down by the end of it because it was so good.
Yeah.
And then the main event was Kara and Mike Bailey. I really wanted Mike Bailey to win, but for some reason they kind of had Mike go in as the heel, and this is coming the day after that match with Bandido. I'm like, you can't have him wrestle heel here. And it wasn't like a full blown heel, but it was a subtle heel. And yeah, it kind of fell a bit flat for me.
I think with that, it's they clearly wanted out of this tournament for Kara to be like the big new face, and
I think they could have done that and had him lose to Bailey in the final. I would be more excited for a Bailey title match than a Kara one.
sure.
And that's no knock on Cara Noir. It's just that he's been anointed as like progress champion, and it feels like every British promotion has suddenly gone like, okay, we're gonna have to go with Cara because he's the guy now. Mike Bailey is a fucking great wrestler, and he's why not just do something different? Because that is what WXW have been so good at over the last 5 years, is differentiating themselves from every other promotion. It's like they didn't book Travis Banks to win the year he was winning all the tournaments. They had him in the tournament, but he lost in like the second round.
Yeah, I think part of what it is, like what you said, it this sort of happens in Brit Rest where there'll be a new guy that everyone is sort of pushing and putting their titles on. It was Haskins at one point,
Pete Dunne at one
Bank,
point.
Pete Dunne at one point, Banks after that. So, but I think it's always felt organic. It's always felt like there's someone who's really starting to break out. And I think Kara is sort of on that trajectory, but
He's filled the void, hasn't he? I'm
yeah.
really happy for Tom because like he's worked very, very hard for a long, long time, and he does deserve this push, but I don't know.
It feels like, I don't know, it's not. Currently, this is the best guy on the scene right now, so let's push him. It's more, this is all we have left.
Yeah.
And I want to be very, very clear about this. I love Cara Noir. If you've been following just me doing podcasts, I've been putting him over for like 3 years at this point. I'm a big, big fan of him, but I'm also aware no one was using him really until basically the Pack
The pack
match.
match, yeah, that was it.
And it's not, it doesn't feel like he has got a ton of momentum behind him. It feels like I said, it's just, this is what we have left.
Yeah, I think it helps that he has a very cool like entrance, because
Yeah.
the first time he appeared in WXW, he didn't really have a lot of crowd support, but it grew over the weekend because of the entrance. So people were like, this entrance is so cool. I'm like, I really kind of get into the character now. And I think it was after the like night two, people were really starting to get into the entrance and into the character. And that helped him immensely with the crowd reactions on the last night, is that steady familiarity thing. When he came out against Eddie Kingston for the semi-final, I actually had like the goosebumps, like the hairs were standing up on my arm, and it was based on this entrance is just so cool. It just feels important.
Yeah, and I mean, he's also a pretty damn good worker. I think having now seen more of him than ever before, there's the nicest way I can put this is there's clearly a reason why he wasn't getting super duper pushed in a lot of places. He's very, very good, but I don't think he's quite great. I don't know what you think about that.
Yeah, I think you compare the Cara Noir Mike Bailey match to the Bailey Bandido match, where you've got two guys who are absolutely world class. And I know they tried to do more in the Bailey Cara match because it was the tournament final and they had a longer match, so it was probably harder to keep it all together. And but you look at the standard of the wrestling, and Bailey Bandido was like way above what Bailey Cara was. So you've taken one person out and put a different one in, and the standard's gone down. Then I know comparing Cara Noir to Bandido is somewhat unfair because Bandido is exceptional, but at the same time, you kind of have to be exceptional if you're going to be main event in shows. But that he is better than a lot of the alternatives.
Yeah. I think it is fair to compare him to Bandido because they're both at the level Kara is at now. You have to be comparing him to world-class wrestlers. So yeah, Bandido is like special, but he's competing with Bandido for main event spots, like you said. So you have to compete with special.
Yeah, he's not far off. I mean, the entrance alone, I think, puts him up there as a main event star because of how special he feels when he just walks into a building. But yeah, his work it's not quite like elite tier, but it's very good.
It's very, very good, and when you put him in there with someone that's elite tier, he can have a great match. Look, the pack match I have as one of my top five matches from last year. So it's not a situation where I think he's bad. I just don't think he's carrying main events level good yet.
No, but that might change. That might change this year with him being in that spot.
Yeah.
So I wish him all the
Yeah.
best anyway, because I think he's a great worker. He's got a fantastic gimmick.
Fair.
I kind of want to touch on something before we go, and that's Eve have basically imploded, like this week. I haven't really been keeping tabs on the story. It's just I've heard what's happened. So, have you heard much about it?
I've been paying attention. Before we go into this, I want to make clear, we are not the right people to be having this conversation.
Yeah, that's fair.
Just, I'm aware we're two cis straight men, so this isn't the best. We're not the people to be having this
No, but
conversation.
so basically, what
But it.
happened? Is they had a show, and the concept was that it was going to be no man's land, and only women would be able to attend the show.
Yeah.
Which I guess in theory is a fine idea, but at the same time, for any company to start excluding fans based on gender is it's a rocky road to go down, and I don't think it was well thought out.
I think that on its own isn't the worst. I think that's a good thing. I'm going to go as far as saying that. I think it's good to have, look, we're just going to have a safe space for women who are generally sort of don't feel safe at wrestling shows because it's all just
Creeps.
big blokey, yeah, creeps. I was going to say it more tactfully, but fine, creeps.
There's plenty of creeps at wrestling shows. I kind of understand
Yes.
that need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the mistake they made is in their statement. They essentially said, look, you can have, we're only allowing women or femme presenting trans people. Now, that is the big issue, I think, because that's a very, it's a very transphobic thing to say of, look, if you can only, if you are femme or if you're acting like a woman,
If you can
that's what makes you a
pass as
woman.
female, then
Yeah, if you can pass as female, you're female. That's a very, very shitty thing to say. And they also sort of seem to be excluding non-binary people as well, which, again, you want to be. I'm all for, look, let's be woke, quote unquote, and be that sort of brand. But if you want to do that, you have to do it properly. And they're just not doing it properly. And there's been a lot of allegations in the past about their training school being a bit transphobic. So this isn't a new thing that's happened. And the biggest mistake I think they made is instead of just going, look, we hold our hands up, we fucked up, we can let, you know, we fucked up, we're going to change how we're doing this ticketing. They doubled down. They were like, no, this is why we're doing this thing. And I think that's where they really made the big issue.
So, has Emily's resigned effectively, and Dan was supposed to be stepping away. So, who's running Eve?
I think, well, with Dan stepping away, I think it was with the idea that Emily's going to take over. If Emily has now resigned, And the reason she's resigned, from what I can tell, is that she was the one that was really. She was the one that had some transphobic allegations against her previously, and she was the one that was really doubling down on this, on the whole non-femme presenting trans people can't come to the show. So, as a PR move, she's the one that left. Now, if she's leaving, maybe Dan doesn't decide to hang up because someone has to run the company. Maybe Dan does decide to leave. And just Eve quietly goes away.
As much as I have disliked some things that Eve have done, it is a place for women's wrestler women's wrestling to develop, and there's not a lot of those. If you look at some of the other or women's promotions, there's no eyes on them at all, and the quality in those other promotions is not where Eve has been at. So I really would not want it to go away. If there's an opportunity for somebody else to step up and run it, then that would be great. But I think the Reeds have had some PR issues that they've created themselves, and maybe it's time for them to find somebody else to take it over, but it has to be somebody who wants to do it.
Yeah, I think Eve is a very important promotion, just because, like you say, there's not that many all women's promotions, not just in this country, in the
Just in
Western world
general,
in
yeah.
general. Yeah. So it's quite important that they keep going, but at the same time, it's difficult. The scene in general for women is not very good right now. We talked about this last time we recorded, where the people are sort of in a rebuilding stage.
Well, Carrot Weekend
So
has been a hell of a demonstration of the lack of depth in European women's wrestling, because some of the women's matches I saw over the course of the weekend were just downright terrible.
yeah, and I mean, let's be honest, Progress aren't doing very well booking women. RevPro.
Well, they had to buy out Southside to actually get somebody who understood women's wrestling, because like RevPro's women's division has been terrible forever. But even by their standards, like what I saw this weekend was incredibly low, to the point where I was thinking, well, maybe WXW should just get rid of the women's division because they don't have one.
Yeah, so I think for that case, we need somewhere like Eve that is developing these women, because otherwise other companies are just going to completely give it up. But I think the Reeds have been a complicated owners for Eve for a while now. And it might be time for just someone else to run it. I think you're right. I think they've done as much as they can with it, and they're clearly now hurting the promotion more than they're helping it.
Yeah, I know
So,
people who won't support Eve because they don't agree with the Reeds, or they just think the Reeds are just weird.
I'll pull my hands up. I've wanted to get into Eve a couple of times, but I just feel uncomfortable supporting the Reeds. Because in our group chat, Ian Hamilton is someone that, like, at one point was going to every single Eve show, and I felt like I should be supporting this company. But the Reeds are just such complicated owners. And yeah, I know every owner of a wrestling company is complicated on some level,
But a lot
but
of
I
them are quite
think,
quiet about it,
yeah, exactly.
so you don't have to necessarily hear the takes of like Gary Ward on social media,
Exactly.
because like he doesn't feel the need to tell people what he thinks about everything.
Yeah, whereas Emily and Dan sort of do, and that's sort of, it becomes more complicated, and I have to think about it a bit more, and I don't want to think about it. I just want to watch some wrestling.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a weird situation.
Yeah, I hope they can find somebody who is just uncomplicated to run it, just as a wrestling promotion. That'd be great. I would quite happily support Eve if they did that. Maybe somebody with a little bit more ambition as well, because like Eve have come close in recent years to doing something important, and it never seems to come to full fruition. Like they didn't capitalize upon the Your Call show.
Yeah, there was a lot of buzz coming out of that first Queendom, and
Yeah.
then just nothing happened.
Nothing. So that somebody could do something really special with Eve, that the groundwork has been done for that to
Yeah.
happen. And it would be nice if it did happen, because I think the market's there. Obviously in our current climate, like running shows is not a good idea, but give it 6 months and try again.
When things are a bit more normal.
Yeah, I missed normal. Normal was good.
Yeah, I just saw AAA are cancelling a bunch of shows as well, so.
Yeah, it's inevitable at this point, but
But yeah, I don't think anyone's going to run for next month unless it's someone like WWE where they just contractually have to.
yeah, and even though that they're not running in front of a crowd, so
Yeah.
that's where we're at.
It's a weird time in the world. Anything else? How are we
No.
doing for time?
We should probably finish.
Yeah. So I came into this show having watched almost no wrestling for about a month. Whenever we record next, which who knows now. We had a big plan of WrestleMania weekend stuff,
Yeah,
and
yeah.
that's all gone to shit.
Well, I was
So,
going to review 40 shows that weekend, and in between, we were going to do little micro podcasts to talk about what I'd seen to that point.
yeah,
That's not happening.
no chance. So maybe we'll be back next week to talk about the Stardom No People's Gate I've been watching.
Yeah, it's
Who
all good.
knows?
Anyway, stay safe.